1075 KCL with Jared and Katie's Feature Film Friday, starring Dale M. Pollock, professor of cinema studies at North Carolina School of the Arts. Ready?
A brand new year, and we're lucky to have Dale M. Pollock, professor of cinema studies at the NC School of the Arts, joining us and reviewing the top movies every single week. Good morning, Dale. How are you?
Hey, Dale.
Good morning, Jared. Good morning, Katie. Happy New Year. And Katie, congratulations.
Thank you very much. Happy New Year to you, too.
We're so happy for you, Katie.
Thank you. We're happy, too.
She's the talk of the town right now.
I guess so.
Well, you know.
It's been a long time coming.
We'll have to wait for the proper rom-com that includes a marriage proposal, and then we can talk about that in some detail, but
fabulous.
Not this week.
We're not going to get that today, are we?
Not today.
All right, so I've heard a lot about The Wolf of Wall Street, including people saying that it's disgusting, but, you know, there's a lot of different opinions out there.
Well, you know, the big debate about this movie is Martin Scorsese validating this horrible behavior we see in which everything is excessive, sex, money, drugs, everything taken to excess. Is it a cautionary tale, or is it really an endorsement? And I think by the time you get to the end of the movie, that question will be answered pretty clearly. I'm not going to do it now.
Okay.
I will talk about Scorsese's bizarre obsession with Leonardo DiCaprio.
He's in all of his movies.
He's in love with the guy. And, you know, this is the fourth film they've done together. He can't keep the camera off of him. And I think it is one of DiCaprio's best performances. He's playing a real-life character, a Wall Street trader named Jordan Belfort, who made and lost a fortune in the 80s and early 90s. So this is a movie about excess in every sense of the term. There is so much cocaine, so much sex, and so much money going on in this movie that after 3 hours, it actually becomes tiresome. So it's just too long. There's too much of everything. Jonah Hill overdoes it in the supporting role of DiCaprio's trading partner. You know, this film will remind many male viewers of Goodfellas, but it's not as good as Goodfellas.
I see.
Dale.
You know, it's not ultimately about that bond between these men, which was at the heart of Goodfellas. This is just two spoiled kids getting way too much before they deserved it.
And Dale, do you think that Jonah Hill's character is very, very similar to his character in Moneyball?
No.
Okay, good.
Actually quite, in Moneyball, he's more of an intellectual. In this one, there's a Yiddish expression. He's a putz.
Okay, good.
Now, I haven't heard anybody, I haven't talked to anybody who has seen this yet, but the preview seemed interesting. I've read other things, but The Secret Life of Walter Mitty with Ben Stiller.
The previews look great, and this is a short novella written in the 1940s by a New Yorker writer named James Thurber, a great comic writer, and it's about an everyman who has fantasies about what he could be doing at a particular moment, and none of those fantasies ever come true. They tried to make a movie of it in the 1950s with Danny Kaye. Didn't work at all, so now Ben Stiller says, well, I'm going to take a whack at it. And I got to tell you, it defeats him, too. In my book, this is one of the worst films of the year.
Oh, wow.
I didn't find it funny. I didn't find it charming. The cinematography, the locations are beautiful and incredible. But if I want to look at Iceland, I'll go rent an Iceland video. I don't need to pay $15 to go see Ben Stiller traipse across Iceland.
Let's go to YouTube.
You know, he's directing here. He's acting. He's not a movie star. All his emotion is directed inward, with only two expressions on his face, humor or glumness. Kristen Wiig is completely wasted, and really pretty much so is everyone else in the cast, including Sean Penn, who seems to have wandered into a completely different movie. So I got to tell you, for me, this was a total, absolute miss, and I don't understand why it's doing any business.
Yeah.
To have Sean Penn and Kristen Wiig in the same movie, it seems misplaced.
Yeah, and you know,
yeah, it does seem odd.
So funny, let her be funny. Don't make her play a straight role.
I agree.
Oh, she does.
No.
I don't know.
No. No good effect either.
Yeah, because she's hilarious.
She's so good at funny.
She is. So let her fly.
I got you. Now this last one I did save for last because I saw the movie.
I know you like this, right, Jared?
I did. I don't know if you did or not. Saving Mr. Banks.
I did enjoy it. You know, I look forward because it's a very odd situation of Disney retelling its own founders' attempts to get the movie rights to Mary Poppins. I mean, it's not a very exciting, compelling movie. It's really about watching two terrific actors sort of have a little duel among themselves, faint, parry, go back and forth. I think Emma Thompson wins. She's really great as the persnickety P.L. Travers, this very eccentric British author who all of a sudden decided she didn't want the color red in Mary Poppins, so there isn't any red in Mary Poppins. So, you know, Hanks's best performance this year is not in this film. It's in Captain Phillips.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. You know, and what I found out, when the time I went and saw it, there were a lot of kids there. This is not a movie for children, even if it is technically about Mary Poppins. There's really not even a single film clip, well, there's one maybe, with the penguin dance from Mary Poppins. This is a movie for movie buffs and people who like persnickety older British women. I should know, I married one. So.
Oh, well, there, we learned something about you. I really liked it. We really love the movie, I don't know who doesn't, Mary Poppins.
Love it.
Sure.
And we had no idea what the movie was really about. We didn't know what all went into it and how much it is about, I guess it's P.L. Travers.
P.L. Travers and Walt Disney's personal attempt to woo her. The problem is they really sanitized Walt Disney. He was not this charming, lovable character who Tom Hanks is playing in this movie. There are many accounts of him being one of the nastiest men on earth, especially if he was dressing you down. So I think it's a little romanticized, a little Disneyfied, so to speak.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And again, how many studios make movies about the guy who started the studio?
Well, yeah, and of course it's going to be, you know, pro-Disney.
Telling the nice stuff, yeah.
Of course.
But yeah, when she told Walt Disney, said, well, I don't want any red in the movie, because she had final say, or she wouldn't sign over the rights to the screenplay. And he was like, well, there has to be red in the movie, not my movie. And they're like, okay, no red. I mean,
this lady...
You know, within the first 15 minutes, you hate her, but then you learn to love her later.
Yes. And Emma Thompson is really good in this part. You can't imagine anyone else playing it. But I'm not sure it's ultimately a really satisfying movie experience. That's what we're looking for over the holidays, a film we can go to with our family and really enjoy. And to me, Saving Mr. Banks was a rather weak entry in that.
That's why I took the family to see Anchorman 2. So.
There we go. Now, there's
Frozen.
That
Frozen.
Was funny. That was funny. All right, Dale, as always, great job.
All right, and I think next week we'll do 10 best of 2013, right?
Yeah, as we start heading towards the Academy Awards and get everything like that. That'd be perfect.
Thanks, Dale.
Very good. All right, see you two next week.
All right.
Bye.
Jared and Katie's Feature Film Friday on 107.5 KZL, starring Dale M. Pollock. Check them out at dalempollock.com.